listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the Daily Gold Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And on the line, I have a first-time guest. She is the resource maven. That's Gwen Preston, adding a much-needed female presence to a male-dominated industry. Gwen, this is the first time you've been on. Some of my audience is probably familiar with your work, but not all of my audience. So can you start off, just give, for those who don't know, can you give some background on yourself?
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, and thanks for coming to the conference last weekend. It was really great to have you there. So I write a weekly newsletter that's called The Maven Letter. It's about the stocks that I am buying and selling and the thoughts that I'm having in the metals and mining sector. And I certainly, my expertise is more in the exploration and development end of the spectrum. I don't really talk about mining companies, but that's my focus. And I've been doing it for a couple years. Before that, I spent many years as a journalist in the sector with a newspaper called The Northern Miner, which is about the entire global exploration and development sector. So that's where I learned the industry and then stepped out on my own a few years ago to start my own letter.
Okay, great. Well, starting off, can you, for those who did not see your presentation, I know that the presentations are now available on video, I believe on YouTube. I forget the name of the channel. I think it's Kitco, Scott Gibson, something like
it's
that.
Beneath the Surface is the, if you search YouTube for Beneath the Surface, that's where they are. They're under that category.
Okay, thank you so much for that. For those who have not seen it yet, can you maybe just mention a few bullet points? I mean, the people who were there, what did you want them to take away from your presentation?
Absolutely, yeah. So, my title, if you want to sum it up in a few words, was Rational Gold, Confident Zinc, and Uranium at Some Point. So there's three talking points right there. So in terms of gold, I think since the start of 2017, gold has been trading rationally. You can say that perhaps it was not trading rationally later in 2016, or perhaps it was, but there was so much uncertainty around Trump that it sort of waylaid a lot of the usual forces that might have pushed gold around. But since the start of the year, you know, gold has gained significantly at 5-6%. That makes sense. It makes sense for a couple reasons. First of all, gold lost 13% in the last 2 months of 2016, so a rebound from a loss of that magnitude is very normal. Gold is almost always strong in January, so that's a normal thing to expect. And then just uncertainty of the new kind, which is the reality of who Trump is and what's happening, and a bit more of a move into reality versus the honeymoon stage, the Trump honeymoon stage, where there was lots of optimism about what a Trump presidency might mean for the U.S. economy. Now perhaps we're getting a little closer to people needing to face the realities of how long impacts of his will take to manifest, what he will actually be able to do given levels of support, and then the basics, the fundamentals for gold, which to me are supportive, and that's driven by the fact that I see us remaining in a low and probably negative real interest rate environment for quite some time. I see inflation that's certainly starting to ramp up, not just in America, but certainly also in Europe and other and around the world. And yet we still have very low interest rates. So even if the Fed hikes, I doubt the Federal Reserve is going to be able to hike faster than inflation. I see us staying in a negative rate environment, and I see the rest of the world there as well. So, and if inflation does tick up, that will happen because we are experiencing better economic growth, and inflation itself is encouraging for gold, right? People buy gold as an inflation hedge. So most of the expected directions, broadly speaking, for the economy are supportive of gold. So, and right now, the gold price is reacting rationally to that. So that was my message on gold, at least.
Okay, yeah, a lot there to chew on. You mentioned a couple different metals. where do you see the best opportunities right now? Is it within one specific metal or industry, or is it just kind of company specific? Talk a little bit about that.
Sure, that's a good question, actually. So I think I would see the most certain upside, the most reliable upside right now is probably in zinc, actually. Gold, as much as I, as you just experienced, can talk for a long time about why I think the gold fundamentals are supportive, that doesn't mean that I necessarily think gold is going to shoot to the roof anytime soon. There's questions around that, technically and fundamentally. But with zinc, those questions aren't there so much. So zinc is fundamentally a bullish story. There's supply is falling and demand is not there to meet it. I mean, demand is rising and supply is falling. Sorry, said that backwards. And that's simply because we've had sort of low and stable zinc prices for decades, to be honest, such that there has been, there's a real dearth of good projects out there. I mean, we talk about that in the gold space, but it's like another level of magnitude in the zinc space. Like, people just have not been exploring for zinc, let alone advancing the zinc assets to a production-ready state. Like, you just haven't been doing it because it's been so cheap. So zinc is up 80% in 2016, but most zinc watchers expect that move to continue this year. And the real opportunity there is that there's not that many, there's very few established zinc stocks out there that you can buy. Those numbers are increasing. I just spent, you know, a few days at several conferences, and there were lots of people talking to me about their zinc stocks that they're just about to roll out. So people are clearly seeing an opportunity here. And I apologize for the announcement if you can hear that in the background. I am in an airport. So there's a lack of zinc equities out there. And so those that are there and that are established and that have the few real assets on offer are going to, I think, offer very strong leverage to the rising price of zinc. So I think zinc is the most confident story out there in the metal space. Uranium is also very prospective, but the time frame is a little bit more uncertain.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on uranium because that seems to be all the rage recently. I mean, in the last couple weeks, just in the last couple months, I mean, these stocks have really zoomed a lot higher. I mean, me just being a technical analyst, I noticed that the URA ETF made a textbook bullish double bottom pattern. So that's great, but we've seen such a massive move off that second low. Some people I talk to, they say the fundamentals aren't going to be great until 2019 or 2020. It's a small space. There's a lot of money moving into it right now. What are your thoughts on that, and how are you playing it if you are investing in that sector right now?
Right. I mean, I love to hear your technical side of it as well. So I'm still quite, I'm watching with a lot of interest, but I'm certainly not convinced that the zinc or the uranium price move that we have seen in the last 6 weeks, call it, is the beginning of the uranium bull market. There will be a uranium bull market, and I think it will be quite explosive when it happens, but I'm not yet confident that we're there. So speaking of fundamentals, it is significant that Kazakhstan announced a 10% production cut about a month ago. So Kazakhstan produces 40% of the world's uranium, and they have basically been producing more and more uranium since they started in this space maybe two decades ago, just to grab market share. So a few years ago, they stopped increasing production, and now they've actually are going to produce less. That's quite significant because that means that Kazakhstan is now responding to price instead of just trying to grow production. That will manifest. But we know that, I mean, going back to zinc, Glencore cut production in 2015 and it took until 2016 for the price to really start moving. I'm not saying the price move was because of Glencore, but major supply cuts usually precede the price move by a reasonable period of time, 6 months at least. What I'm watching for in the zinc space that'll give me some confidence that the uranium bull market is imminent is to see nuclear utilities around the world actually sign new long-term supply contracts. So since the Fukushima disaster happened, we've certainly had increasing amounts of excess supply in the spot market that made utilities quite complacent. They're not They don't have their needs covered anywhere near to the same degree as they usually do. So over the next 10 years, uranium use, nuclear utilities have about a billion pounds of uncovered uranium requirement. Like, it's an unprecedented amount that they need to secure for their reactors. But there's so much excess sloshing around right now that they don't feel pressured to do it just yet. That said, you mentioned 2019, 2020. When we get to that level, that is when production stops being enough to meet demand. So the utilities are looking at the same supply-demand charts that you and I look at. They know that they can't wait till 2019 and then suddenly, you know, and then sign all these contracts. So sometime in the next 2 years, there's going to be a rush of contracting, and that rush of contracting is going to push prices up, I think, quite dramatically. But like I say, I'm not going to express any confidence that that's happening until I see the first of those contracts happening. People that I know who are really in the uranium space, who buy and sell uranium, say that those conversations have actually started, but it's still a long process, right? Because utilities are going to want to sign low-price contracts, producers are going to want to demand higher prices. It's going to take them a while to hammer out the details and actually announce the contract. So I think we're still looking 6 months. I mean, is it likely this year? I think it's reasonable to expect that the uranium price move could start this year. But again, I'm going to wait for some more signs to have confidence that it's imminent.
Yeah, it seems a little bit of a conundrum because it seems that the stocks have moved. I mean, normally the stocks can lead fundamentals. Just in general, in capital markets, they say by 6 to 12 months. And I mean, with what you're saying, I mean, the fundamentals, we still have some time before they're really going to turn positive. But then you weigh that with the fact that the uranium stocks were basically in a 6-year bear market. So then how do investors play that? I mean, it's my initial reaction to what you're saying is, you know, we don't want to chase the strength, but maybe we just wait, sit and be patient, and maybe the stocks consolidate for, you know, when they stop going up, maybe they consolidate for a couple quarters, and that's the time you want to get in. I mean, do you agree with that? Is it just, if you don't own it, is it best to just kind of be patient and let these really strong moves kind of come back?
Yes, you basically captured it right there. It captured my perspective, at least. Like, yeah, we've seen uranium stock, you know, 60%, 100% in the last few weeks. I would not jump in at these levels. I do think that these moves will cool off. It's also important to note that uranium stocks love to run in January. I mean, go back and just look at the Cameco chart, and it has gained, like, I don't know, 4 of the last 5 Januarys, and all the rest of those years has uranium has performed terribly, and Cameco, therefore, has also performed terribly. So uranium stocks do like to go on January runs. So both from that perspective and just from the fact that, like I said, these moves have been really sharp, and yet the fundamentals I don't think are quite there yet. Yes, I think it's quite likely that these gains will ease off a bit. Once they do, I mean, I think once they've come off from this current run, I think there's little harm in positioning, right? Like, if I'm saying that uranium and stocks are going to go sometime in the next sort of 6 to 18 months, we're still broadly speaking, in terms of the uranium price, we're still essentially at the bottom. No producer in the world is making money at current uranium prices, right? So that's about as contrarian a signal as you can get. And remember, the uranium price came off a lot last year. When did it come from, like, $40 to 18, something like that? So, I mean, people have been talking about the uranium bear market for years, but, like, 2016 was terrible for uranium. So there are a lot of signs that this is coming. So I think positioning during this next call, yeah, like you say, a few quarters, I think makes good sense, but just not today because, you know, you've just missed the 100% spike that's likely to ease.
Okay, now this next question, you can take this anywhere you want, but how can you help our audience make some money in the near term or this year? I know that obviously subscribing to your newsletter, that's what they should do, but maybe just, I mean, a stock pick if you want or something that you think can help them make money here over the medium term.
Well, fun question. So in broad terms, I'll talk a bit about if you're a gold investor, I think really pay attention to sort of gold seasonality. So gold loves to be hot in January. Gold equities continue to be hot often through February and into March, but then they ease off. Summer doldrums are a very real thing. And then the fall is a strong season. And given bigger picture happenings right now, I think that the fall season could start a little early. So what that all adds up to is if you are looking to put money into the gold space, I would sort of do it in a few months, like in the summer doldrums that I think will be a bit early, and then sort of hold at least through the fall. And then later in the year, we'll perhaps have a clearer idea of what's happening globally, economically, and whatnot. So in terms of big picture, yeah, pay attention to seasonality and to try and time your entry. In terms of a bit more detail, I'll throw out two things. So one, I'll throw out two stocks that I'm fairly excited about right now. On the exploration side, there's a company called Erdin. The ticker is ERD. They're exploring in Mongolia, of all places, but they really are delineating a brand new gold district in Mongolia that has high-grade mineralization at surface, and it's looking now like it could be quite big. So if you like the exploration-driven stories, I think Erdin is a very exciting one. If you are more comfortable on a sort of lower-risk production side of things, I'll throw out their Red Eagle. So Red Eagle is currently commissioning the first modern underground gold mine in Colombia. They haven't yet gotten the re-rating to go from a developer to a producer, and they sort of entered production, you know, started commissioning the operation while gold was having its weakness late in 2016. So I think there's a re-rating fairly imminent for Red Eagle on that front, combined with the fact that after putting all of their energy into getting this mine into operation for the last 5 years. Amazingly, they went from discovery to production in 5 years, which is shockingly quick. They're now back on the exploration front, and there's really interesting exploration upside there. So I think Red Eagle, the ticker there is just R, is an interesting story. And then if there's credited investors out there who like to participate in private placements, there's pros and cons of that, and we could, I'm sure, spend a whole podcast talking just about that. But I do offer a premium service that helps retail investors get access to what I think are the best opportunities in the private placement front in mining stocks in Vancouver. So you can certainly contact me. You can find me at my website, which is resourcemaven.ca. You can contact me and ask more about that if you're interested.
That was going to be my next question. You already answered it, but I'll just give you one more chance. So for our listeners, okay. Number one, how can they follow your work? And number two, where can they go to subscribe?
Perfect. So, yes, my website is resourcemaven, that's maven.ca, not .com, .ca. And my contact information is there. You can sign up for a free trial if you want to just see what the product is like, or you can just straight up subscribe while you're on the website, and you can track me down very easily from what's there.
Alrighty, well, Gwen, you're a great speaker. You're a great interview. Thanks so much for coming on, and I look forward to having you back in the next month or so.
Oh, thanks so much, Jordan.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.